we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. We are thankful to be on the air today. Thank you for making us part of your day. We pray that this time that we spend in God's Word will be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. And I hope you had a great weekend of worship, that you discovered that God is good all of the time, that He is ordering your steps and directing your path in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Praise God. So we want to thank you. This is an exciting week for our family. We've got two milestone events that are taking place this week, and really excited about that, about what God is going to be doing. And one of our children has two milestone events. This is her week. This is her week. And so we're celebrating all that God has been faithful to her to accomplish. And so praise the Lord for that. Today I do want to say thank you again to Creative AC Solutions for helping us to bring this broadcast to you. Bill Andriak is the one who runs Creative AC Solutions. His wife Heidi is our worship leader, and I tell you, we have some wonderful people at our church serving God. And a couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation with someone. Someone called me at the house, and I was pretty sure I knew what they were calling. It was a church related thing on a district level, and but in the process of discovering some things, we were having some communication issues that we were trying to clear up there. He passed on to us some really, really exciting news about how God had used Merritt Assembly of God in the past year. We were very, very excited about that, and I will share that information with you here publicly whenever I get the approval to do so. But God is on the move at Merritt Assembly of God. We're thankful for that. It's because of the wonderful people that God has blessed us with, people like Bill and Heidi. And she works here in the community, works a full-time job, and also leads us into the presence of God. And so a little over a week ago, we were having such a wonderful time in the presence of God that the format and the structure of our service just got completely and totally changed because of the Spirit of God moving in our service, and our people responded in a wonderful way. Bill does work on air conditioners, and so if you need any help here in the central part of the county to get your unit up and running, in fact, with some of the recent cold snaps, you may have wanted to try and turn your heater on at night, I don't know. And if you found your heater not working, give them a call and they can get you fixed up. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So let's go back to Isaiah, the fourth chapter. Isaiah, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to read the chapter again. And it says, "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach.' In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud, and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain." A good portion of Isaiah chapter 4 is dealing with positive things. It begins when society begins to cry out and ask for their reproach to be taken away. The things that have been deemed disgraceful by God, those things that have set them up for judgment instead of blessing. And all of a sudden, they begin to look for that reproach to be taken away. Now, we talked about this on Friday, chapter 4, verse number 1. They begin to look to man for their solutions. They're looking for anybody who can take away their shame and their reproach. And I've got news for you today that the only person who can take away our reproach and our shame is Jesus Christ. No other person, no other entity, no other God can take away the shame and reproach, but Jesus can. But Jesus can. So let's look to a higher source. Let's look to God instead of looking for human help and human intervention. I was in a meeting at the men's conference a little over a week ago, and a pastor was sharing a testimony that they had been having a building campaign, a capital campaign. They were building a new building, and that he felt like God had wanted them to make a commitment to that. Now, this is a very strong missions church as well. There's missions, missionaries, hundreds of missionaries that are supported by this church. And as he was sharing, he said, I felt like God wanted me to make a faith promise that there was no natural way that I could fulfill. And God helped him, blessed him with an investment that he had made, and it became a profitable thing multiple times over. And he was able, into just a very short time, be able to fulfill that commitment to their church. You see, a lot of people think that pastors are in the ministry to get rich. Now, there's probably some that have happened too. I've known a lot of ministers through the years, and I can pass along to you that the bulk of ministers that I know that are in the ministry do not get rich from the ministry. I started off making $84 a week after taxes at my first youth pastorate. I got up to $100.64. I then went 2 years without being in the ministry. My next job, I made $125 a week as a father and a husband with one child. I came to the church that we were at. We didn't get a salary there. Eventually got to like $50 a week there. Came to Merit Assembly of God, didn't make a salary there. So please do not tell me about all of these people that you think are only there, only working one day a week and getting rich, because I can tell you that that is not the norm for most of us. We're here because we want to see Jesus transform lives. The reason that I'm in the ministry is because I love Jesus and I love people, and Jesus loves people, and he doesn't want to see them suffering. And so when we get really serious and say, God, would you take away our reproach? That sets us up for this new day that is talked about in verse number 2. It says, in that day, the branch of the Lord, that is a title for Jesus, shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. So it says, when we begin to cry out for our reproach and our shame to be taken away, that Jesus shows up on the scene. He is the branch of the Lord. And it says that it is God's will for him to be beautiful and glorious. Now, I want to ask you today, this Monday, would you describe the presence of Jesus in your life in those terms? Would you describe him as that if people came into and analyzed your heart and analyzed your mind and analyzed your speech and analyzed your finances, would they declare that the Lord is beautiful in your life? A lot of people add Jesus into their life, but he is compartmentalized, set off to the side, and he's really wanting to be beautiful and glorious. I love to watch home improvement shows. Not that I have the financial resources to do that, but I love home improvement shows. I've got another thought. Let me go back to previous thought before I forget it. The reason I was telling you that story about that pastor who made that building fund commitment was when his children were going to school, and because he pastors a very large church, and they said, "Wow, your dad must be very rich." And the son's response was, "Well, we would be if he didn't give all of his money away in missions." And he said that every month his missions giving is more than his house payment. And so I just want you to know there are people who are saying, you know what, we're not here. My bank statement is not going with me to heaven, nor are any bills that I have. And I tell you, I can preach some of you into a revival right now that everything that's caused you to be filled with sorrow and grief and regret, that all of those things, none of them get into heaven. They have to be checked at the door. And so I want to encourage you, God has a beautiful hope and a future for you. But back to this, I like to watch home improvement shows because they give me ideas. Some of them are ideas of things I don't want to do, and some of them are ideas of things that I do want to do. But whenever they go in and they take this house and they gut it and they redo the floor plan of it, one of the things that they do is they create a wow factor for when you walk in the front of the door, that whenever you walk in, people say, "Wow, is that beautiful?" So I want to ask you today to just do a little reflecting and ask yourself, if people were to come in and inspect my life, would they see that Jesus is that wow factor at the doorway of my heart? That Jesus is what makes me beautiful. It's not my physical features. It's not my makeup or the clothes that I wear, the car that I drive, or the house that I live in. The thing that makes me beautiful is the beauty of Jesus on full display. Why don't we ask God to allow us to take the veil off, if you will, so that the world can see the beauty of the Lord Jesus in us. It begins to happen when we ask God to take away the reproach. Not only will they see God as beautiful, but they would see him as glorious. Now, I am of the mindset that God is deserving of all blessing and glory and honor and power and praise. The reason I'm of that mindset is because the Word of God says that it is. And society has done so much, and probably the church has contributed to this to some extent, but we have created in this society an expectation that God is just one of the boys, if you will. He's just one of us. He's just another thing to be added to our life, when exactly the opposite is true. God is the omnipotent one. That means he is the all-powerful one. There is no one that can compare. All of the nations of the earth cannot compare to the power of God. The God is the one who spoke the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence. He is more powerful than they are. They simply exist at his decree and at his command. He is that powerful. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. He is not just a B student sitting in a high school geometry classroom someplace and trying to figure it out. God is all wisdom and he is all knowing. He doesn't just know that on a macro scale or across the board. He knows what is going on in your world and in your life right now. What if we, the church, began to not only worship this glorious King in our church services, but we allowed ourselves to be in awe of him throughout the week as well, that when we are tested at work, we say, you know, I want to be known as a person who reflects that I am living in the presence of the glorious King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe that that makes a difference. Someone sent me, one of the listeners sent me an email here a couple of weeks ago. I talked about prayer. They sent me an email and that it had a connection to a video about an entire city that had been transformed. And so I want to thank you for that video. It was about a guy that I had been in some services with many, many years ago. His name is Ed Silvoso. He had a conference down in Melbourne. Used to be a conference center down there. There used to be a little shopping mall off of Babcock and Hibiscus, I believe it is. And a bunch of Christians came together, and he taught out of Luke chapter 10. And I think it ties in a little bit with what we're talking about here today. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 10 this morning, and it says this. Then he said to them, this is Jesus, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money, bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. And I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." And so in verse number 17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And so Jesus sends these disciples out. They come back and they have this glorious testimony about all of the great things that God had done for them. Well, most of the time when we go and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, a lot of times we go up to people that we do not know. They do not know us. They don't trust us, because I encountered this when I first moved to Chicago. I'm from Oklahoma. We're pretty friendly. There were times when you didn't even in that era, you didn't even have to lock your door. People just treated one another with respect. Neighbors had each other neighbors' backs. My mother had an entire network of ladies in our neighborhood that would watch over us if we were out of her sight. We could get in trouble and not have a parent anywhere near us. I mean, there was a tremendous network. Most people will tell other people about Jesus, and then they will expect them to just radically change. Ed Silvosa taught out of Luke chapter 10 that Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he said, whenever you enter a house, say peace to this house. And so we come with, he said, whenever you are engaging with the intent on ministering to another person, whenever you come into them, come with the intent of being a blessing, that you are going to bring peace and soundness of body, soul, mind, finances. You're going to bring integrity to everything. And begin to pray for that house. May your peace rest on this house. He had an interesting saying, and I've never forgotten it. He says, talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. And so you want to pray, God, how can I be a blessing to this person? And it says that depending upon the type of person that is there, if his son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. So you are there to be a blessing, but you are also there building a relationship. You are there to build a relationship. We get in such a hurry. Listen, I'm going to try and say this in a nice way. Seeing people's lives transformed is not about statistics. It's not about how many notches in your belt, but instead it is about a person that you build a relationship with, that they come to want you to share the things that you have. I do a teaching about the way that Israel marched out and the way that Israel camped at night, and that the core of everything, when they set up camp, the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, the tribe that recognized the attachment between men and God, but also the attachment, the relationship with God is the bridge between every tribe. You were just a small journey away through relationship. And yet here in 2016, we think if we have a relationship on social media that that's going to accomplish it. God wants us to have personal relationship. And he says, so stay in that house and eat, develop relationships, eat with them, drink with them, whatever is there, build that relationship. I want to ask you, do you have a close friend at church? Do you have a close friend at church? Do you have someone that you are having fellowship with? You should have someone who is helping to bring out and develop the giftings of God in you. And you should also have a friendship with someone that you are trying to bring out and develop the gifts of God in them as well. Develop those relationships. I know that with churches that a lot of people are looking for some place to go, and they can be anonymous and they can hide. I know that for a fact because I had a person that came to my church and they said, look, I can't come to your church because I'm just looking for some place where nobody knows what's going on in my life. We have between 50 and 60 people on most Sunday mornings. And folks, I want you to know, I'm not looking to be a stranger. I'm looking for people who want to be my friend. I'm looking for people who want to grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, so once you go in there and you go, you bless them, you build relationship. He says that if you encounter a need in verse number 9, it says heal the sick there. In other words, he put it this way, Ed Silvosa did, that you would meet a felt need. That if there was somebody sick there, you are a son of the Most High God. You are a child of God and adopted into the household of faith, but you have been given authority by Jesus. The scripture says that we can pray the prayer of healing. We can pray the prayer of faith, and that the Lord will raise them up. Signs and wonders are for unbelievers so that they will know the Lordship of Jesus Christ there, that they will see him beautiful and glorious like we talked about in Isaiah chapter 4. And then it says, whenever you have done that, whenever God is on display in his beauty and his glory, he says this, declare to them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Too many times we are presenting God as a rigid philosophy or a something from the past. When people are really wanting to know, is there someone that is bigger than I am? Is there someone who loves the unlovable? Is there someone who can heal my hurt and heal my pain? Is there someone that is beautiful and glorious? A friend of mine, I've not been able to figure out what goes on with Facebook, social media, how they determine what I'm seeing and when I see it and all of that sort of stuff. But he posted a picture. He had taken his son. He's from Pittsburgh. He'd taken his son to a couple of Pittsburgh Steelers games, and Pittsburgh Pirates game. But while he was there, he encountered one of the coaches for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he said, son, we've got to get your picture with this guy because he is very influential in this team that we root for in New England Patriots territory. They actually live in Massachusetts. And I think Massachusetts has got to be a rough place to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but they are doing it. He said, we got to get your picture taken with this famous person. Church, it is our privilege to let people know that if they want their reproach taken away, there is a beautiful and glorious Savior who can heal all their hurts, forgive all their sins, set them on the path of righteousness, and use them for his glory. He wants to build relationship with us. This week we have a very high responsibility, and that is to put God on display in such a way that people will say, wow, Jesus is there. Let me tell you, several years ago, a few decades ago, I made an announcement on Sunday morning. I said, I want to invite you to church tonight. Jesus is going to be here tonight. And a grandmother came up to me a few days later and said, wow, my son was so disappointed I didn't take him to church. He wanted to see Jesus. People still want to see Jesus right here in Brevard County. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an